Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. Today's episode is going to be fun and lighthearted because I feel like we've had a lot of episodes recently that have been a little bit deep, which is great, but also sometimes it's nice to just laugh. So we're going to talk about being born in the 1900s. That sounds really long ago. You know, it's getting bad, Jesse, whenever you have to fill out those forms and they have the drop down and you have to find the year that you were born and you scroll and you scroll
keep scrolling,
your year. But we're going to talk about some of our memories and just some nostalgia. And if you were born before the
turn of the century,
2000s, I hope that you will be able to relate to some of these. And if you were born after 2000, well, I'm so glad that you're listening to the podcast. Thank you for listening to this old woman talking and this old man talking. And we hope you learn a few things. But first, so last podcast, Jesse, that you and I did together, we talked about how we broke a 19-year streak. Well, today we have another streak that was broken. This was a 4.5-year streak. And you're looking at me going, I have no idea what streak we're talking about. That's okay. I did tell you about this the other day, but I don't expect for you to always remember every single thing I tell you because I tell you a lot of things.
A lot of things. And to that, I found a great meme.
Uh-oh.
And it was of a gorilla, orangutan.
Oh no, you didn't show me.
In a pool, just splashing all around, waving his arms wildly, in this little kiddie pool. And the caption was, "My brain when my wife tells me something important."
You did show me that.
I remember. Yes, it was pretty hilarious.
Well, the 4.5-year streak is that I am no longer pregnant or nursing.
I just
weaned Micah. It was actually the day before he turned 20 months. I didn't plan it like that. That's just how it worked out because I just felt like it was time. I always say, wait until you know it's time. And I just knew it was time. And so as I was weaning him, it took me a few days to realize, oh, I weaned Kirsten when I was pregnant with Micah. So therefore, I have literally been pregnant or nursing for 4.5 years because Kirsten is almost, she'll be 4 in April. And obviously I was pregnant with her for 9 months. So it feels very weird. I don't even quite know what to do with myself that I am not feeding another human either in my uterus or on the outside. And I realized something, and that is, I don't have much of an appetite when I'm not feeding someone else as well. So it's really weird. I'm trying to remember what it's like to just eat for me. But that's been, he's really shocked us with how well he has done.
Amazingly well.
He was the one child that I was just not sure. Like, I just didn't know. And so I was very quiet about my attempt to wean him because I just thought, we're going to try this for 24 hours. I don't know if this is going to work. It's okay. I nursed Kirsten until she was 23 months. We've got a few months here. If I need to start back up and wait a few weeks or a month or two and try again, then I can. But it's like something changed in him once he started weaning. Sure, he cried a little bit. And the first few nights, you kept him upstairs and took care of him when he woke up. And I was downstairs, which was the first time that I'd gotten 5.5 hours of sleep and a 6-hour stretch of sleep since he was born. So because he's just never slept through the night, he usually wakes up 2 to 3 to sometimes more times than that to nurse. And so that was, you know, a little bit of a challenge. But then once he got over that hurdle, it's like all of a sudden his personality has changed and he's so much more independent in a really good way. He's not as clingy as he had been. And he wants to be with you a lot yes. more, which mm-hmm. he always just would gravitate toward me and always just want me to hold him. So that's been a really good thing. I feel like it's just, it was time, and it's just been very much confirmed over the last, how long has it been? 2 weeks? Are we going on 2 weeks? I can't even, or is it 1 week? I don't even know. Oh no, it's a week and a half. It's been a week and a half. Okay.
Split down the middle.
I was thinking it was Monday today, and I was so confused, and then I realized, oh no, it's Friday. Okay. Because there's a lot that's happened this week. We just yesterday dropped, well, I dropped Caitlin off at the airport. She is currently right now about to board a plane for an 18-hour flight to Southeast Asia. And you might be wondering, why is she right now about to board the plane when you dropped her off yesterday at the airport? Well, that is because her flight to San Francisco was delayed, and they missed their connecting flight to Southeast Asia. So therefore, they ended up in San Francisco last night unexpectedly. So she called us this morning at, I think,
3:30.
No, it was actually 2:50 because I looked at, she had okay. called. She called five times. I had my phone on. I told her before we knew that there was.
I woke up at 3:30.
We know there was a possibility that they weren't going to make their connecting flight because of the delays, but they were really hoping to. So I said, I'm going to have my phone on. I texted her this while she was in the air, so I knew she'd get it when she landed. I was like, I'll have my phone on, and if you need to call me, you know, I'll just call me anytime. Well, she called five times. And finally, on the fifth time, I woke up in the midst of very deep sleep, and I'm like, what is that sound? That is a familiar sound. I do not know what that sound is. Then all of a sudden I shot out of bed because I realized that's my phone. And I was keeping my phone in the other room. So that is another reason I should have had it right by the bed. I probably would have woken up the first time. But anyway, she called us at 2:50 to let us know. So sweet girl, they were not sure what they were going to do. They thought they were going to end up sleeping on the airport floor, which we all know my recent adventure. I just felt so badly for her to have to do that. And then not only that, but then be, you know, kind of knowing that this huge 18-hour flight, or is it 17 hours or 18 hours? I don't remember. I think
17.
Anyway, this big flight is coming up as well. But they ended up somehow were able to get into a hotel, and they got on a flight this morning, which should be leaving in the next hour or two. So we will keep you updated. I'm hoping once she comes back from her trip, she'll be gone for 11 days. She went with a group from her school and some really fantastic parents. I'm so excited for her to have the opportunity. But when she gets back, I'm hoping to have her on the podcast to share about her experience. And Jesse, you are getting ready to head out. When this podcast drops, you will actually be, Lord willing, if nothing happens with your flight, you will be in DC with Silas. Mm-hmm. And this will be your second time to get to chaperone the DC trip, the school they go to every year when the eighth graders go to DC. So you went when Catherine went. Mm-hmm. Why didn't you go when Caitlin went?
Caitlin didn't go on the DC eighth grade trip.
Why was that? I can't even remember.
COVID, I think.
Maybe they didn't have it that year.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, you went with
Catherine. No, it was,
I don't know,
2021, I believe. And so I don't think that they had the because
I think they did all local things. Everything was local. Because travel was still very shut down at that point. That's right. Okay. So you didn't chaperone that one, but you did. Now you're going again. You have chaperoned, though, we figured this out, 3 high school trips so far, or, well, eighth grade, and then you went to
Florida,
and then you are going to DC again. So I said that next year, and all of Silas's high school trips, if he goes on anything cool, I get to chaperone. It's my turn.
Also, don't bring in any babies while we're gone, please.
I will try not to. We have a history that when this week at their school, something major happens. Like the first year, it was when we got our first foster care placement. And so Catherine was in Suriname, and we're like, surprise, you have a new baby brother that we will be fostering. And then when you were in Florida, surprise, we said yes to David. And so you came home to a new baby. And so I am going to try to just keep three little
Appreciate
children
it.
That we have and not multiply while you're gone. Gratefully, Catherine is...
Okay. If you want to get a dog while we're gone, maybe that's okay.
I will not be getting...
that's why I said
I will not be getting a dog. All of you pet lovers, more love to you. I just, right now, I can feed, you know what?
I bet you there'll be chickens in the backyard when we get home.
Okay, chickens are much easier than a dog, but I can feed sourdough and I can feed kefir. I think that's about the extent of what I can feed extra right now. But I hope you have a great trip and we'll talk about it when you get back. But Catherine is on spring break. And so I am not going to be here by myself, which is what we initially thought, but she's going to come back and help me. And she's excited. I'm excited. So we're going to get to spend 5 days and she's going to help me with the three younger ones. And we're hopefully going to just get a lot of time to hang out. So that'll be fun. I am reading this book that my sister Gretchen highly recommended called Only the Beautiful by Susan Meisner. And I think about 3/4 of the way through the book. I really love it. My sister said it was basically one of her favorite books last year. It is just a really beautiful story of those who might be overlooked, not seen, people on the fringes. And as someone who, you know, is a parent of a child who could be in that position, I just resonate very deeply with how sometimes our society looks down on those who have disabilities, who have come from really difficult backgrounds, and how the story weaves things together is just really beautiful. I will say that there is one section, there is a rape scene that I felt like it was a little bit too detailed, and that could be very triggering to some people. But other than that, I have just found the book really, I mean, beautiful is kind of a weird word to use for it, but a story that is well worth reading.
Is it fiction?
It is fiction, but it is historical fiction. So it's based upon the stories in the book are not true, but the events, the locations, from what I understand, you know, it's those types of things are accurate. And there were some things that I did not know that this happened in America, and things like sterilization of young girls who were considered to have disabilities that they didn't feel like they should be reproducing. And so against mm-hmm. their will, one of the main characters in the story, she was basically put in the foster care system and she had this quote disability. It's called like synesthesis or something like that, where she would see colors in connected with sounds and they thought it was this disability, and she got pregnant out of wedlock because she was raped. And so then she was put in this home, and in that home she ended up getting sterilized without her, you know, zero permission from her. And so I want to research it more, but it seems like this was a practice that happened a lot. And I think it's based upon historical events.
What time frame is the book? Is it in a certain era?
Yes. So it was set during World War II. So it's kind of paralleling. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Where the view that Hitler had on Jews and those with disabilities mm-hmm. versus like how we have actually some of that mindset has, you know, so. And it's a really poignant sort of way that the story is told that it just really makes you step back. And so, yes, would highly recommend it. Like I said, I'm 3/4 of the way through. So, I mean, I don't know. My sister highly recommended it and she's usually really good at picking books that I would love. But like I said, there's 25% left of the book. So, you know, but so far, really fantastic. I've mentioned this before, but we have a new product called 10 Weeks of Money Saving Menus. If you struggle to get dinner on the table, if you struggle to come up with ideas, if the thought of planning a menu and a grocery list is just so much work and you're just like, I wish somebody else would do it for me. I just want some great recipes and I want to be able to just follow a plan. Well, we made a plan for you and it's money saving, which is the best. We've heard from so many people who are shocked at how this is cutting their grocery bill by following this menu plan. So it is our very favorite recipes. There are 60 recipes in this plan. You get 6 dinners every single week. There's one night that you can use for leftovers or fend for yourself or dinner out, whatever you'd like, but 6 dinners each week with a done for you grocery list. So all you need to do is just print the grocery list, or you can even just input it into Walmart pickup or Kroger pickup and then buy all the groceries and make the meals. They're simple meals. They're yummy meals. And I hope that this product helps you to be able to spend less time in the kitchen so you can spend more time around the table as a family and you can enjoy serving your family dinners instead of stressing over what's for dinner. We have loved hearing the reviews from people who are finding it to just save them so much time, save them money, and also finding great new recipes through it. And we put together a free 1 week sample menu. So if you want to try it out, if you're not sure, will this work for my family? You can go to the link in the show notes and you can check it out. And also when you sign up for that, there is a coupon code. You can use the coupon podcast if you want to purchase the menus after you try the 1 week, and that's going to give you the discount that you're going to get the entire 10 weeks of money-saving menus for just $9. If you have a big event coming up that you need to get a nice outfit for and you are dreading having to do the shopping for it, and also you're like, oh, I don't want to spend a whole bunch of money, well, I've got a solution for you. Armoire is a clothing rental service and they have such great clothes to choose from. Here's the thing, you go on their website and you get to take a survey that is going to really help you define your style. And you can also tell them if you're looking for something specific. So if you're looking for dresses, a type of dress, formal dresses, office wear, whatever it is, maybe you're looking for casual clothes, I don't know, but you can tell them what you're looking for. And then they are going to curate this closet for you of items to choose from. And then you choose which ones you want to rent and they ship them right to your door. So you don't even have to go in store and try things on. I was so impressed with what they sent me. They nailed my style and also they nailed my size, which I find very difficult to do. I can go to the mall and try on item after item after item after item, and rarely do I find things that fit me really well. But almost everything they sent fit me perfectly. In fact, I had to send back my bag of the clothes that I had rented, and I was really sad to part with it because some of the things in it I had worn so many times that I really didn't want to give them up because I love them so much. In fact, I was like, should I just go ahead and purchase this? Which is an option that they offer as well. But if you'd like to try out this clothing rental service, right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/crystal. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/crystal to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart, and I feel like I need to preface what I'm going to say with this. I'm a huge advocate of breastfeeding. Anyone who knows me well knows that nursing is something I believe in, and all five of our biological children were breastfed until they were 19 to 23 months old. However, we also have fostered and adopted, and I've been so grateful for formula companies in those situations. I'm also grateful for formula companies because our last two biological children, I really struggled with my supply and did all the things, spent so much time and effort, and just was never able to produce enough for them to be able to gain weight and not be hungry. And so I was so grateful for companies like ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. Their mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. They're made with certified clean ingredients. It has no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code CRYSTAL for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. So go to byheart.com/podcast and use CRYSTAL to get your welcome offer. So the inspiration for the focus of today's episode came from a meme that's been circulating on Instagram, and I posted it. It says, "Please be patient with me. I'm from the 1900s." And I posted it and then got so many responses. Right now, there are 168 comments from people sharing their memories from their childhood of being born in the 1900s, which most of us probably were born more in the late 70s, 1980s, 1990s, but it's still the 1900s. And it's crazy to think of how much the world has changed, how much technology has changed our lives. I mean, I think I was sitting here reading this meme off of my phone. Mm-hmm. We couldn't even imagine a world with the internet, with memes. Like, we didn't know what that word meant. I mean, who made up that word? And having phones in our hand. Jesse, you were born in 1980. I was born in 1981. And that was the era of record players. I remember I had this little blue record player in my room. My mom and I were just talking about this the other day.
The toy one?
It was, well, it worked.
Like the Fisher-Price one?
I think, I don't know what brand it was, but it's a little blue record player and you would pop it in the side and they would play. And I had my little record collection. I still remember some of the songs on those records.
Oh, so it actually played vinyl.
Yes,
not those plastic.
You know what? Records. When we were back in Kansas 2 weeks ago, Micah was playing with the actual. They have one of those Fisher Price, the ones that you're talking about, okay. And they play. They yes, actually records yes. play, but they're all plastic.
Right.
No, this was an actual vinyl record player that it had small little records. They were small, and so you'd pop them in there. And I just still remember the songs to this day. And you know, when it would scratch, you'd get them scratched and then it would have mm-hmm. that little, you know, every time it would go over that. And then we moved to cassette tapes. I'm trying to remember when those came out, but.
Oh, cassette tapes have been out.
I feel like it felt like we used them interchangeably, though. We had records and cassette tapes, and then we kind of made the shift more and more to cassette tapes.
I never did records.
You didn't? Okay. No. We had actually, in our basement, we had a record player that was connected to stereos in our upstairs. So like we were very...
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we could play the records. We'd put them... I remember we had this little system. We'd put them on there, and then it would play upstairs our records on the speakers. Upstairs. But then, yes, we moved to cassette tapes. And I remember even as a teenager, I had my little, what was it called? It was a little cassette player that I would clip on me. Was it a Walkman? Clip on
or
me.
Or a generic Walkman.
And had my little earbuds.
Headphones.
We didn't call them earbuds, but they weren't, I don't think they went over my head. Okay, I don't remember. I'd be out weeding the garden, listening to my cassette tapes. It was not music. I was a nerd. I was listening to preaching and things like that. I don't know if that's called a nerd, but I didn't have cassette tapes really that were music. All of mine were teaching cassette tapes and things like that. And I'd play them over and over and over again. But I remember also we had, you know, the phones with the long cords. And if you, mm-hmm. do you remember, did you do this where you would call the weather every day? So you call the number and then it would tell you what your local weather was going to be.
838-2222.
Was that it? Yes. Yeah, yeah. That all of a sudden that came to my, yes.
Oh, this is Dan Dillon. Sorry. Most of you listening doesn't know.
If you weren't in Wichita, Kansas, but yes, in Wichita, Kansas, 838-2222.
It is 46. And it was degrees.
Like, and it would be like kind of this cool thing that we could do because mm-hmm. we weren't allowed to use mm-hmm. the phone except for we could call the weather anytime we wanted to. That was allowed. But
I was just thinking about that the other day. How many of you remembers that your phone numbers or tons of phone numbers from when you were little and yet can't pick a phone number for your kids or what now for the life of you?
Well, we were just having this conversation with Silas. You weren't with us. I'm trying to think what it came up about, but it was when my team was in town for, we had strategic planning meeting this past Saturday and we were driving somewhere and Silas was with us. And I don't remember what it was, but I was saying that I could call him. But I didn't have my phone. And he looks at me and he's like, "Do you even know my number?" And I realized I don't know my kids' phone numbers.
Yeah.
And I said, I literally know my family's home phone number, I know my mom's number. I know your number, Jesse. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure I know my dad's number. I don't think I even remember his work number anymore. But it's like, I'd have to call my mom and be like, can you look up on your phone and tell me what Silas's number is? Because I'd either have to call you or call my mom. Like, that's it.
Why do I know your dad's work number? Because it just popped in my head.
Okay, maybe I can remember it. We're not going to say it on the podcast, but maybe I can remember it. But it's just interesting how I was like, I should probably learn my kids' phone numbers or at least write them down and have them in my wallet or something. It was just that recognition. That was a thought that never crossed my mind that I don't even know their phone numbers. But back in the day, we had to know everybody's phone number or we looked it up in a phone book. And it's just so funny to think of.
Phone books?
I know. But we used them all the time. And I remember when a new phone book would come, we would open it up and look at all the ads. And, you know, it's just the world has changed so much. When mm-hmm. we first got married and then you were an attorney, your very first job as an attorney, you had phone book ads. Like mm-hmm. that's where you got your clients from.
Yes. When I had my practice, yes.
Yes.
Man alive, that was expensive.
And it's crazy to think of that's where you got your clients from. And now nobody, I mean, they don't make phone books anymore, right?
I haven't seen one in ages.
It's just, yes. And
remember when they used to throw them on your doorstep?
Yes.
And every year.
You would get a new one every year. It was a whole big business because that's all the advertising. And like mm-hmm. you said, it was very expensive to advertise in the phone book. And would you have a small little ad? Would you have a full page ad? Would you have multiple ads?
Double trucks.
Where would you put mm-hmm. the ads in the, you know, what section would you put it in and all of that? And how you could go through and look at all of the names. Now people wouldn't want to have their information like that, you know? Mm-hmm. Everybody's hiding their information.
I remember people would name their law practice certain names in order to come up in certain spots in the phone book. Now it's Google searches, you know.
American Aardvark Association of Law.
Well,
do Aardvark Association of Law. Also, we talked about this ahead of time, but wood paneling, like everything had wood paneling. It felt
cars
like
had wood paneling.
We had an old Chevy station wagon with the wood paneling and it had the back seat that was turned around. And I remember when we got that, we just thought we were so cool. And we could ride in the back and we'd be riding backwards. And when we go on family vacations, we'd sit back there. And when my dad wasn't looking, we'd try to get the trucks to honk and then they'd honk. And then my dad would know that we were back there like, making the sign to honk. But it was just so cool. I don't know how we didn't get very sick to our stomachs sitting back there backwards. And I remember the first time riding with a friend on a school field trip and her dad had this really brand new car that had a car phone in it. And we got to use the car phone and it was just mind blowing. Like we could call somebody from this big phone that was in their car. Do you have a memory of something like that? Like the first time
I remember using the bag phone for the first time. Was when my mom was in the hospital. My uncle had one when he came up to visit her.
What is a bag phone? Because people kept talking about that on my post.
It was
a huge
Motorola, looked like not quite a suitcase. I'm trying to figure as size wise what it'd be like. Probably 12 by 16.
It was like was a case unit, that like you would carry case, around.
And then the Motorola phone itself was attached to that. I don't remember if it had a cord or not to attach the bag phone. And then that was the transmitter.
And so it was a portable phone.
It was portable, yeah. It was the
Were they super
before
expensive?
Cell phones. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you pay, expensive. I'm assuming you had to pay a monthly fee?
Probably got blocks of usage time.
If anyone listening to this has had a bag phone, I need details if you had this, because in my world, apparently we didn't have anybody cool enough to have one. So I didn't even know what a bag phone was. But when I was 16, I did get a cell phone. It was one of the Nokia. I don't even know what
this is. That bag phone was, I was 11.
Okay. So phones progressed pretty quickly then, mm-hmm. I would say, because mine, I mean, it was a large phone. It didn't collapse or anything like it, but I just thought I was cool beans, mm-hmm. to use a phrase that we used then. And I, you know, you couldn't text or anything, but you could call from this phone. And I really think my dad got them for us because it was, we were driving. Well, I wasn't driving at 16, but I was going places by myself a lot. I think it was more of a safety thing because my car actually did break down early after I got my license. And I was so grateful because I was out in the country and my car broke down. It was just a simple little wire that got unattached. And my dad had come give me, what are you giving me this face for?
Sure? You sure you didn't run out of gas?
No, I did not run out of gas. It was a very confusing thing, but my dad figured out a little wire got unattached. And so the car just stopped while I was driving. It just stopped in the middle of the road. And so because I had the phone, I was able to call my dad, yeah. and he came. And I don't really know exactly what, I don't even remember the details. I just remember I was so glad I had a phone because I would have had to walk a really long ways to be able to get somewhere.
Where were you?
I was close to my family's house, but like a few miles. Like I would have had to walk a long ways to either find somebody who was home or walk all the way back to their house. And I was headed somewhere where I was going to be, you know. So just, it's interesting because last week,
I was just thinking
when
about
when AT&T went down, I think all of our phones were down.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so weird. At first, I just thought something's wrong with my phone. And because I couldn't get on the internet or talk to anybody else, I didn't know that this was happening all over the place. And it was just this weird thing to be driving and to know if something happens, I can't call on my phone. I cannot contact anybody through my phone. And then when we found out I was able to get on Wi-Fi, because I went to the co-working space, got on Wi-Fi, was able to connect with you and found out your phone was down too. And then the kids' phones were all down. But you were going into Nashville and we needed to pick up David from preschool, Kirsten from preschool, and you were at Silas's doctor's appointment for his hand. And so we weren't sure if you were going to get done in time and if I was going to need to do preschool pickups or you were going to need to do preschool pickups. And so it was this thing of, well, we got to be able to contact each other. And it just made me think of, what did we do back in the day?
Well, it was almost like we had to flip a switch. And it's like, oh yeah, okay, I've been here. We've been without before. What do we do? We'll communicate like we did before.
And you have to communicate before you leave the place and make sure people know exactly what's going down because you're not going to be able to contact them again until you get to another place that has a phone or Wi-Fi. And so it was good, but I think that's why we were talking about the phone thing, because Silas was saying, like, just recognizing how dependent we are on our phones and how much we rely upon them.
And I think, honestly, I think there's a different level of trust in other people as well, because we are so connected. You have to trust the people that are in your family to be where they need to be when they said they were going to be there. And you have to be more reliable. You can't just say, oh, I'm running late. You know, you're really reliant on and trusting other people that I don't think being so connected fosters.
Well, that's true. Because I think of how many, you know, parents are getting on and tracking where their kids are. And if they didn't have a cell phone, you wouldn't be able to track it. You wouldn't have a clue where they were. So you would either constantly be freaking out or you would have to take a different approach to be able to function, because we've just gotten so used to being able to know where everybody is at any given minute.
It's really a lack of control.
Yeah. So it was just, it was interesting. It was good.
Things to talk to counselors about.
It was good to have that short experience, but I was really grateful when the phone started working again. Also, we spent a lot of time playing outside, and I was thinking of the hours and hours and hours, especially in the summer, that we'd spend playing outside with the neighbors, that no one was watching us. And I was like, how old were we that we were just playing outside in our neighborhood for all afternoon until dinner, and in the summer, in the morning and all afternoon? And I remember we'd be going, we never went into the neighbors' houses. We weren't allowed to do that, but we'd go all up and down, like outside, outdoors, in backyards, in front yards, playing on the sidewalks,
exploring
the whole entire block. We could go, and no one was checking on us. I was like, I just was like, it was just an interesting thing because I can't even imagine letting our kids just go out. I mean, obviously they're 3, 3, and 1, but I'm thinking at what age would I feel comfortable with them just roaming the neighborhood? And another thing I remember, one summer we decided we were going to dig to China. I think a lot of kids. So a bunch of group of us neighbor kids. I just remember we were in the backyard and one of the boys was this, had this real sciencey brain. And so we'd be digging and digging. He'd be like, look, like we just hit this layer because look at this. And he'd be like explaining like the rock that we just found or the color of the dirt or whatever.
And well, there's the magma.
We dug and dug and we were digging to China. And I'm like, what part of geography did we miss about this? That, I don't know, but we were very determined. And we also spent a lot of time in our sandbox, which now I think is, that was just kind of a glorified litter box, you know, just a really large litter box. But we would make, because there were a lot of cats in the neighborhood, and we would make these mud pies and with leaves, and we make all these different food things and serve it and everything. Obviously, we didn't eat it, but drinking out of the hose. Mm-hmm. You know, just when we were thirsty and
riding bikes through the neighborhood, we built ramps.
And how did we survive the metal slides and merry-go-rounds?
This was the time when I broke my arm as well, which
we talked about the last episode that we did. We talked about that, but the metal slides and the merry-go-rounds, I mean, I just think of like, we just never. I mean, I remember sometimes with those merry-go-rounds, there'd be a whole bunch of kids on them and we'd be going really fast. And I remember a few times like a kid getting underneath and I don't know.
Getting underneath what?
When the merry-go-round was going, they'd fall underneath because that's the thing that's super dangerous because it's just going to be bonk, 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 bonk if you're underneath with
How's that go?
Anyway.
There was hand motions along with that for those of you that can't see.
So, yes, we survived that. And
I can still hear the squeaky slides, yes.
And then thinking of, you know, as we got our phones and I got a cell phone before you, but
yes, you did.
Then whenever you were away,
I wasn't bitter at all.
Yeah, I was very proud of myself. Then when you were away at school and we would have to call on the weekends and after 8 because that was free long distance.
That's another number that I had to memorize.
What do you have to, my number? Yeah. Well, of course you memorized my number. I'm sure I had your number memorized too. We moved into MapQuest. We thought we were so cool because we didn't have to use the atlases anymore and we could use MapQuest. And, my dad, I remember when I first got email, actually my friends would just email to him. And I think he had Hotmail first. And, he would print out the emails every day and bring them home. And then a few times a week was allowed to get on the computer and reply to them. But it's just so funny to think of, like, I just thought it was so cool. My friends were sending me emails and he'd print them out. And Hotmail and Juno.
Yep.
And we still, was it our Juno account the other day or was it SBC Global?
Both.
That we needed to get. What was it? It was something for us. We were trying to fix something on the blog that years and years and years and years ago had been set up, and it was set up through a very old email account. I believe it was Juno, and I figured out how to log back in. It felt so weird and also so cool that I remembered how to log back in and was able to, I think, reset the password and get the code that we needed to be able to log into this thing and then immediately change it to another email so that didn't happen again.
MSN.
Oh, yeah.
And that was our first browser, I think, on our Windows 3.1.
An instant message. Instant message, the precursor AOL. To texting.
By the way, if you are actively using a Hotmail account, you might need to check your account. Your doctor is trying to email you for your regular colonoscopy. So,
your regular colonoscopy at that age?
It's no longer the first one. It's a regular one.
It's a regular thing.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I know I had Juno. And I think Juno was what I had. And then I used my dad's. And then, because when we were first married, we had Juno. And then we finally switched to SBC Global.
Once we ran out of those discs.
Because we got those AOL discs. I think we talked about that on another podcast for the first at least it was a good, I think close to 2 years, we had free internet through the AOL disk. If you remember those that they'd send in the mail, and we would go to cancel at the end of 30 days and they'd offer us
Office Depot.
They'd offer us another 30 days. And we just did that again and again and again and again and again until finally we were at a financial spot that we could start paying for internet with our business earnings. It felt like a really, really amazing day when we got to that. But thanks to AOL for...
We got DSL.
Supporting us for all those years for free. It was quite the amazing thing. I was also thinking of how Netflix that would send it would send the DVDs, and we got a free Netflix account, I think a few times. So for 30 days, we could get the free DVDs. And then there was the Clean Flicks. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And we would get those. They were the edited versions of movies. And then they got in big trouble and got shut down because they were, it was the copyright issues and stuff. But we got the free trial of that as well and got those in the mail. It's just so crazy because now if you say Netflix, like back then it was DVDs by mail. And now that is, no one would ever think of Netflix like that. It's just a different generation. We'd love to hear from you. There's so much more we could talk about, but I'd love to hear, what are your memories if you were born in the 1900s? What are some of the memories, if there are things that we touched on or other things that you wanted to add? Send an email to crystal@moneysavingmom.com. We always love hearing from you. Notice that wasn't crystal@juno.com or crystalpain117502lip or something at juno.com. Isn't that always, it would be like, have to be
crazy
something.
Numbers.
We did get Jesse and Crystal, like jesseandcrystal@juno.com. Please don't email that address because it is still valid, but we don't check because I can't, I'll have to remember how to log in. But we did get that and not have some weirdo thing.
When was the first time you had a CD player?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, because I do remember getting CDs. I don't remember. I was trying to think. I feel like in my car, I had a tape player. I had a tape player in my car until I got married.
My stepdad got a 5-changer CD player in 1986.
1986? Wow.
86 or 87.
So he was a real cutting edge guy.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I do not recall CD players when they, I think we had a cassette and CD player for quite a long while then. I remember that. And then we slowly, most things were cassettes, and then we slowly started adding more CDs. So we had the cassette and CD player. And then when the iPod came along, I just remember I wanted to get an iPod so badly. I just thought that that was the coolest thing. And I finally did get, I think it was an iPod Shuffle.
I think was that after we got married?
Yes, it was after we got married.
We planned our wedding on a Palm Pilot.
That's right. I bought a Palm Pilot from a friend, and all of the wedding planning, I did it on the Palm Pilot. And so it was just interesting to look back and see how I feel like I got a computer before anyone else in my family had one. I had a big computer and a desk in my room. And you just, when I was writing my book, Money Making Mom, in 2014, that was a long time ago.
That was 10 years ago.
Right? No, but I was going back to my childhood and realizing how I was always fascinated with technology. Yep. And so to think of like planning our wedding on a Palm Pilot, which was a very forward type of thing to do then, because very few people had Palm Pilots. Just to think of it,
that was not in the 1900s.
Yeah, that was 2003.
I got mine in 2001.
Yeah.
2000.
And so it's just interesting to see how that interest in computers and technology, even though I'm still very techno illiterate when it comes to a lot of things. I mean, I think Micah can do things on my phone that I don't even know how to do. When we were in Kansas, he did something to my mom's phone that we couldn't figure out how to fix. We had to bring my dad in to try to figure out how to fix it. But I have always had that interest in technology and computers, and just to look back and see that, and writing was something I was always very interested in, and a lot of, and how God just wove those things into what I'm doing now. It's really cool. Anyway, we could get on so many rabbit trails. It's so fun to go back and think of these things. So we'd love to hear from you. crystal@moneysavingmom.com. Shoot us an email. Tell us if you had a bag phone.
Tell us if you died of dysentery as well.
On Oregon Trail, yes. Did you survive Oregon Trail? And What are some of your best memories and things that we failed to mention? Let us know. We'd love to hear. And I hope you have a great week. We will be back soon. We have a guest episode next week, and then we will be back with an update on how the trips went, hopefully the following week. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.